with Rushab and Kyle and Nick.
Episode 5.
Welcome, everybody.
How's it going?
4th of July, Joe.
How are you guys doing? Why aren't they talking to us, Kyle?
I don't know.
Our fans are douchebags.
I don't think they like us anymore.
No.
Whatever, man. We don't need them.
They want.
Yeah, we don't need people to listen to this. This is for us. This is for you. This
I'm
is
an
for
independent us. Woman. I don't need anyone.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Well, how you doing, Nick?
2013.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Anyways, we're coming to you from the great Northwoods, Minnesota.
Yay.
Yeah, it's another podcast on the road.
We know that doesn't matter to you, but it matters to us.
Yeah.
So.
We're up in, northern MN.
Like the woods.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very secluded area, very good place to talk about video
games.
We're
here because Kyle has been fucking talking nonstop about eating another person for like months. So we're like, you know what?
Man.
Fine, we'll go to the Northwoods, we'll get my gun, we're gonna find someone to kill, and we're gonna eat them. So we did that, and you know what? Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
I'm sorry I was so judgmental, you guy.
See,
that
I'm telling you,
we picked up, delicious.
A little gamey.
The rosemary and the salt, and you know what really made it was the
tarragon.
There was a lavender vapor we put on it, along with, you know, the what was that? The garlic? Yeah. Made it just wonderful.
Problem is now you have, you know, an addiction.
Now we
that
have
cannot normally be met.
We do have the hunger now.
Yes, that's a downside, but you know, I've learned a lot about myself and about, you know, what it means to like really explore, you know, what you can eat.
Yeah. No. As I've been saying, cannibalism, not that bad.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That drifted him.
Can we just
check, but you know, he probably didn't.
No. Yeah, I'm assuming he had no loved ones that were that are missing him.
Might have been a she. We really didn't check down there. We just took the torso. So.
I checked down there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's weird. We didn't see that.
I included it in the sausage that we did.
First,
we're going to have a discussion about that later on.
Am I right? Anyways.
Am I right? Because it's shaped like long and...
I'm not gonna knock you for that. Anyways, massively multiplayer online RPGs.
The rest of the show, please.
Can this be the cannibalism?
RPG standing for a role playing game for those that you are novices to video games, which
massively multiplayer cannibalism role playing.
Oh
games.
Yes. So Kyle and I have been really into
MMC RPGs.
God damn it. Why?
Because they're the best. You eat people.
That's an interesting idea for a game, though. Where you're just in an open world environment
and you're with
other people, and your goal is to kill and eat the other players?
To survive.
Yeah.
That's actually not half bad.
It's a little fucked up.
Well,
you
might have to play as a human. You could play as like some other creature.
It's not cannibalism if you play as someone other than a human.
Yeah, it's like a multiplayer Tokyo Jungle. Like,
Do
you guys know about Tokyo Jungle?
No, I don't. Enlighten us.
It's this game on the PSN where you play as animals in a post-apocalyptic setting in Tokyo, and like, I think the premise is that they've escaped from the zoo, and basically like all humans are gone. But you play as an animal, and you can choose what animal you play as, and you have to survive. And that involves like killing and eating other animals, and like finding crops if you're an herbivore animal, or like an omnivorous animal that can do both. And like, you can choose which animal you play as. You can be like a tiger, or you can be like a Pomeranian dog. There's like just a lot of weird things.
That's cool.
Yeah, it seems really weird. The animal lover in me kind of doesn't want to play it because I just don't want to see animals getting eaten.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the same instinct that doesn't like when you have to fight dogs in games. I hate when you have to fight dogs.
Yeah,
I want to kill the dogs. I'm fine with killing people, but the dogs, don't want to kill them.
Yeah,
Kyle's got a weird sense of morality. But
it's not
know.
Even morality. I just don't want to kill the dogs.
No, it's just, well, it's kind of like it's a real psychological human thing. Like, you know, you look at movies, like, we always sympathize more with the animals when they get killed than the people.
Yeah.
It's just more of a thing, like, we've
been
desensitized more to, like, humans dying in like,
animals
fiction
are
than, like,
innocent. That's
yeah. Well, it's like, when you think of an animal, you think of, like, purity to a certain extent.
Right.
It's animals, like, oh,
yes,
animals are wonderful. Why would you hurt one? They're always so nice to me.
Right.
And
that's
then,
why you, like, you, I, oh my god, like, crushing videos and things like that? It's ridiculous.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Constitutional, though.
Alito, you can thank Alito, that conservative douchebag, only dissent. To be fair, though, they're right. You can't categorically create. They are protected from. They are a protected form of speech. You can't just create a categorically obscene content limit. We're not talking about this. I'm sorry.
Well, no, it's not even the content. It's the action.
Oh, okay. Well, I just referring to it being legal.
Right. Yeah. Well, no, like, if you report it, that's fine, but it's like, as far as I'm concerned, it should be as legal as a snuff film is, in that it's not the film, it's the action that's being performed in the film that should be illegal.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The more thing is, like, it's like a chilling effect, so it could affect, you know, someone taking a video of a hunting video, or, like, you know, if they're cleaning their game after they killed it. It's hard to differentiate. Sometimes the legal area gets a little. I know you're saying
no. There is no chilling effect with this. This is there. I understand the concept of a chilling effect. This is one thing where there is no chilling effect.
Well, every justice besides Alito on the Supreme Court disagrees with you on that. So
yeah, they're fucking stupid.
They're not.
Also, no, they're wrong. No, they're not.
No, you're not thinking of the evidence. The thing about anecdotal evidence, you can't usually use anecdotal evidence to a certain degree with public policy, but with the law, it does matter because it's all about specific instances, and there are ways to create an instance in which that would be very inappropriate, but also legal.
What?
No, I'm saying, think about a hunting video in which someone shoots a deer. That deer is not quite dead yet, and they have to go up and snap its neck. That's almost as fucked up as a crush video, but you would never censor that in, like, a hunting video that's sold, like, you know, in, like, hunting stores all over the country.
Mm.
No, they wouldn't. They would never do that.
Well, they wouldn't. It's not the censorship of the action in the video. It's the action itself. And when you hunt, we regulate hunting insofar as...
I'm not saying I think all of it's gross. I'm just saying, like,
we regulate hunting insofar as if you don't do that, like, it quells deer overpopulation and people use game to hunt.
You're kind of missing the point, though. The case is about free speech and not the actual action, the legality of torturing and killing an animal, which is what you're more talking about.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is if you take away the ability to the action itself is what should be...
And it is illegal.
It is?
Yeah, it's animal cruelty.
Good.
Yeah, the video is what we're talking about. Damn it. You missed the whole... That's what I was trying to tell you. You missed the whole point.
Shut up.
We're talking about videos of things.
Shut up. Right. Well, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Anyways. What were we talking about? We got off on a real stupid tangent.
We were talking about cannibalism.
Yeah, we were.
That was also not really what we were talking about. Hey, I hope you guys had a great lesson on con law and... cannibalism there.
And how it's okay.
How it's not technically illegal.
Cannibalism is not technically illegal.
That's what I was saying.
It's the means of obtaining it that is illegal.
Because it usually involves murder.
Murder!
Yeah, it usually does.
Or a hot plate.
Anyways, on the topic of a cannibal set MMORPG.
Yes.
Real MMORPGs.
Well, cannibalistic. Again, you don't have to play a human. You don't necessarily have to play.
You know, pitch your idea to EA, and then they don't talk to me again because you're an idiot.
You're the one who said, hey, let's play for you.
Just joking.
God damn it.
Just calm down.
I hate everyone.
Yeah. Good.
So, Cal, I've been playing NMO in particular recently.
Yeah, we have. Yeah,
it's called SWTOR. Star Wars, Knights of the Republic. You might have heard of it.
Not Knights of the Old Republic.
The Old Republic.
Yeah. You don't have to be a knight. It doesn't pigeonhole you into that role.
Shut up,
you fucking knight. Because the Jedi Knight is the worst class to play.
I play Jedi Knight. It's actually pretty fun. I enjoy it.
That's the point. That was the joke.
I got it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I hate you.
Yeah.
But beyond that, we're playing Star Wars, The Old Republic.
Right.
And we like it. It's a good game.
Figured it was a good opportunity to segue into an episode about MMOs because it's pertinent to our lives, and it might be pertinent to your lives, and if it's not, you should listen to it anyway because we'll have hilarious anecdotes like the one you just listened to about cannibalism earlier. Stay tuned for that.
We promise it won't get as ridiculous as that anecdote, though.
I promise it'll get more ridiculous than that anecdote.
Yeah, really, I can't promise anything.
I'm just going to try to think about more ridiculous things to make it even more ridiculous.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, we wanted to start off talking about, you know, what I've been playing as well. What we've both been playing. Cal, this is the only MMO he's been playing. But I've been considering getting back into the MMO game. I've been in love with MMOs all since I played, you know, Priston Tales and Ragnarok Online and Lineage 2 back in the day. First one I ever played was, of course, RuneScape. I'm sure you all are, you know, familiar with that. But I've played Guild Wars and Aeon Online and a bunch of other minor MMOs.
It's weird that, like the one MMO that I feel like most people have played is not on that list.
Oh, yeah, WoW. I played WoW for, like, a small period of time. I didn't really like it.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot more people disagree with me. I found it too cartoony and obnoxious and kind of boring.
So the art style, mostly?
The art style does bother me. That's one of the big things.
It does.
And I'm against Blizzard. I love StarCraft. I'm a big StarCraft guy. I played StarCraft, Brood War, StarCraft 2, StarCraft...
Well, you probably would have liked Warcraft if you played...
I played a little bit, but I like StarCraft more. Sure. I was more into the sci-fi setting.
Sure.
And I just like it more. But that's besides the point.
What if there was World of StarCraft?
That was actually a concept they put for a while.
That's so dumb.
It almost got made.
I don't even know how that you'd do that. Like, you'd play.
That's why they didn't make it.
Yeah, you'd play as one Zergling. Like, all right, great.
Well, I mean, there's different ways to play. You haven't played StarCraft in depth, so you can't really describe that.
No,
really,
I can't.
That well.
No,
it could have worked pretty well. I'm actually glad they didn't make it, just because they should have just kept it an RTS game. They did. Wow, it's much more of an iconic. Warcraft never got to the point that StarCraft got in terms of popularity,
sure,
around the world, etc.
Right.
StarCraft had the best balance of any RTS game, which is why it got so big.
What about like Company of Heroes and shit? A lot of people like Company of Heroes.
Yeah,
like
people are fucking idiots.
Totally.
No, those are actually all probably pretty good games. I'm just saying StarCraft is better
played.
I didn't play them because StarCraft's all
right.
Yeah, it's good. But anyways, moving on from that.
Oh man, you have such an unbiased opinion. I love it.
I know. I'm just letting you guys know that StarCraft is the best RTS game ever made.
Having never played any others.
I'm just putting it out there that I'm right.
Right, right. Well, in addition to the Old Republic, I've been starting back up The Last of Us to work on that Survivor playthrough.
I downloaded it slow to the arrival.
Yes, you did.
Yeah,
your computer can't run it for whatever reason.
It's not optimized, bro. That's
we should just play that right now.
I can run it. It's
just
not running like the way I want it to.
Right.
At max settings. It should be able to max settings.
Yeah.
You should totally just play it now and get some audio reaction.
Mm.
I feel like that would cut into our episode of MMOs in a really awkward and stupid way.
I don't care. You already talked about candles for 10 minutes.
Yeah, we did.
That is a fair point. But I feel like we've wasted our tangential idiocy for this episode.
Oh, there's plenty more to come.
Just do
yeah,
it.
I will say another game that I've been playing. I purchased the Legendary Edition of Skyrim to get into that DLC.
Ooh.
Damn DLC.
Yeah,
and,
buddy.
Because I was not able to play it earlier on, as I played on the PS3, and we all know how that turned out for Bethesda.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now that I have the opportunity, I've been doing it. I've been enjoying it. Same Skyrim you know and love, playing that Arya Stark type character.
Hell
yeah.
Alright, so I'm going to talk about, even though I've played a ton of MMOs, I hosted several private servers, both Ragnarok and Lineage 2.
Yeah, you did.
And they were successful, they were pretty successful.
Yeah.
But anyways, besides that, I've always kind of...
This little like 14-year-old Indian kid from Minnesota like hosting his own, I like it.
Yeah, no, it's weird. I don't know why it worked out.
I have all this power.
Yeah, it got to my head, man. I was not responsible with my GM powers, dude. Like, Game Master, I was abused in, like, certain ways. I was so nepotistic. I was with my friends' GMs, too, and we were all, like, really shitty, but people loved us because we were also very charitable.
Right.
But also,
you were benevolent rulers.
Yeah, we were crazy.
Benevolent dictators.
I would warp every player on my server to one spot for events that I mandated. Most people like the events,
though.
They're
gladiatorial.
That's where they worked
it's
out.
Gladiatorial combat.
But the thing is, they were sometimes. I would just turn on PvP zones in cities. For my amusement.
Yeah.
In cities. And it would be hilarious.
Jesus
people
Christ.
Would die in the streets. Level like two novices, which is a class that you start off in Norway, we'd be murdered by like level 35 like knights, just like in the streets. I just wanted to buy some armor. Fuck you, you're dead now.
Blood's running red.
I was born back here.
Server.
I remember you said, like, sometimes it would just turn off and you wouldn't notice, and people like send you threatening emails.
Yeah, like, why isn't the server up, bro? And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm sorry, bro, it crashed. I was at work. I couldn't check.
Your dad was turned off.
No.
You were also a 14-year-old guy.
Yeah, I was like 40-year-old kid.
You had like a 40-hour-a-week job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was wearing a BK man to finance my server. Yeah. I got donations too, that was nice. I bought some extra RAM for my computer, some
really?
Other things. Yeah.
Shit.
No, I got donations. It was crazy.
That's awesome.
And then the fucked up thing is when I closed my server, I got to keep those donations.
Yeah,
my
you did.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. What, are you going to refund a RAM card?
Yeah, it's like, what? I'm not going to reimburse you, assholes.
It's like Kickstarter. Fuck them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now that I'll never be able to start a private server again because this podcast.
So, fund Rushik's next private server.
Trust me. I won't get bored of the ripping off.
He'll misuse your funds and treat you like shit.
Except this, I won't buy RAM. I'll just probably buy alcohol. I'm 21 now.
You've grown
23
up.
Now.
You've grown up.
Yep. Anyways, what I was trying to say is, even though I've had vast experience, I share Kyle's apprehension to the genre because it is kind of, it's flawed. The monthly donation thing is one of the biggest things. The monthly, rather.
Monthly payment, yep.
It's not, you understand why it exists, but at the same time, it creates like necessary problems in like the structure of a game because you have to make it a long game, but you don't know how to do it well sometimes, and a lot of times it results in just a grind or features that take forever to access.
Not just a grind, but like a quest fest.
Yeah. Like, oh, kill ton of this monster. Oh, thank you for doing that, bro. Go kill 10 more of that other monster.
No, seriously. Like, I was playing the one thing that I've noticed about Sodor that I really like is the fact that it's like, it is very story driven.
Yeah, the voice acting helps so much.
Right, the fact that it's fully voiced, like every quest NPC like has a full voice acting behind it, even though they might reuse some voices.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, it's just like, this helps so unbelievably much, you don't even know.
It's like, go find these three things, kill 12 monsters, which is the same thing as the other game. But it's like, oh, here's a plot and emotion and an entire rich universe behind it. Let me tell you about this.
Right.
Yeah, fine, I'll go do this, man, because you told me to.
It's like, oh man, my lungs are failing me, but you should go help out these people. All right, great. I'll do that because I have the feels for you now, vaguely.
Yeah. You're a person, not a text box to me.
Yeah, yes, seriously. Mm-hmm. And you're not just in it for the experience loop, like the
exactly.
But the like Sodor doesn't give it doesn't elevate itself above the quest fest. Like I was just digging around one day, and one of the quests popped up. It's like a bonus objective: kill 40 people.
All
right,
that happens all the time.
Yeah, no,
now it does.
Yeah, and it's like bonus update: kill 40 more people. What?
No, it fucks with me. It's like, oh, kill 15 more. Oh, that's not bad. Kill 30 more.
Right. That's all right. Yeah.
Kill 40 more. God damn it. You kill 40. Now take out this objective and fight a boss.
Yeah.
Why couldn't the boss have come 3 steps earlier?
Seriously. even 1 step earlier.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine. Like, kill 15 people.
All right.
Kill the boss. Not that much of a problem.
Yeah.
15, 30, 40. You're at 75. It's no 85.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know.
And sometimes it's okay when it's naturally in an area, you just have to move from spot to spot and it ends up in that. But other times it's like, oh, you have to go back, you have to make sure you stay in this radius to fucking kill these guys. And like, but I want to do other shit. Maybe I could have killed them all the way there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's there's so much padding in the genre.
Yeah.
That it gets a little bit ridiculous sometimes. But the fact that it is BioWare and the fact that it is plotted, or the fact
it's
that
an original
voice
universe,
action.
Which is,
it has this lore behind it that you already know.
Everybody wants to be a Jedi Knight or a Sith.
Right.
I mean, or just Republic, fighting for Republic or the Empire.
Yeah.
No matter what class.
Being a bounty hunter, being Han Solo, being
an Imperial agent, being a being a trooper.
Well, yeah, the trooper and the agent maybe not so much because they're not really that well represented. But
I see. The weird thing is, I see it, even though I haven't really reached plans with a lot with a good diversity class, I've seen enough from people. For the most part, I'm surprised.
A lot of people do play trooper from what I've seen on the.
It's not like Star Wars Galaxies where there's just too many fucking Jedi everywhere.
Right. Well, they've done their best to make things a bit more on the level.
And because of the story, it's like, oh, I want to see what everyone's story is like, so to actually play everyone's story.
Right, and like the Imperial Agent's story is like apparently the league's like far and away the best.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is a random class to make the best. You'd think it would be one of the ones that a lot of people would gravitate towards. No.
Well, if I put more effort into it, because it's like, oh, well, combat, maybe, like, people won't be, it's not sexy at the start, because you don't have a lightsaber, you're not even
No.
But
you also have, the fact that you are a spy, like, that's
yeah.
what it works off of. It works off of a lot of, like, spy
yeah.
things. There's like, oh, that's like.
You're an agent, more than anything else.
Yeah, but, like, it handles itself a lot like a spy thriller might
oh,
be.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, the Central Intelligence Agency is very much like, MI6.
Yeah.
From Bond. You're just like, alright, yeah, like, that's basically Q.
We're gonna do unsavory shit
right,
for our
yeah,
country.
Right.
Unsavory as fuck shit.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
Obviously, it's worse because it's the Empire, but
mm-hmm.
let's not act as if the CIA and MI6 and Mossad,
yeah.
all these intelligence have not done pretty fucked up shit.
Sometimes you need to poison a slave uprising.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta poison a slave uprising.
sometimes you need to poison slaves.
let's be real.
But yeah, that's a gripe I'm having with Sword War, but.
Grips, but to be fair, it's actually allows itself well, but there's other things it hasn't done as well.
Yeah.
The open world isn't really an open world. Lineage 2 did the open world environment, and it's kind of like the Dark Souls of MMOs. It's not as good as Dark Souls, I'm not gonna lie, but it's really fun because it's a massive, it's a persistent open world, and it's all one, and there's several servers, but like, everyone plays on the same map. It's not instanced at all. Everyone just...
Oh, so it's on the same shard.
Yeah, everyone's on the same... It's a massive world, and it's flyover if you had a flying... If you had a Wyvern, one of the flying dragons, which is very difficult to get in the regular story, not the private server, but like, your own server, you can fly...
not on
world.
One of Rusha's lavish private servers.
Dude, they were lavish as shit.
Where you just spawn Wyverns for everyone.
Didn't do that, but I was...
Wyverns for everyone!
I was a gracious god on sex. As you can tell, this didn't do well for my development as a child.
You should have showered people with wyverns just to say that you did.
Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a massive world. And like, for example, like the human start on an island, you have to take a boat basically to, or you can pay a lot of money for a teleportation, which costs, it's like, you can't just teleport places in this game.
Yeah.
Everything costs, you don't have power to do that, and you have to teleport and take a shit ton of money.
Right.
By the way, this is me talking like Chaotic Throne era. Like, I didn't play all through all the chapters. I played through like level almost 30, I would say, on the official servers before I got into private servers, then made my own servers. So I don't have a full experience on it, but I got like maybe months and months of play out of it.
This
so
is
yeah, that's about the thing. I got no, this is Lineage 2.
Oh, Lineage 2.
This is about the thing. I got months and months of play and barely got a quarter of the way through the level system.
Yeah.
By the way, I shared a server with a good friend of mine. We played all the time. Like I had a job, obviously, and I played when I was like in the early morning and late at night. He
yeah.
played during most of the day, so we were playing almost all the time.
Yeah.
That's how long it took us to get there.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And we weren't bad or anything. Well. But it was a really cool world in that like PvP is open everywhere except for cities.
Yeah.
And the way it would work is that if you hit someone, you turn purple, your name tag would turn purple, and you could be hit without karmic justification or karmic... karmic revenge.
Yeah.
But if you murdered someone, like a low-level player or someone else, without them retaliating, George Zimmerman, you...
Oh,
I'm kidding. Sorry.
Oh,
man.
Political.
Oh,
no.
Political.
I'm kidding.
Too soon.
A little bit too soon.
Anyways.
I'm editing that out. No, I'm not.
I was saying, right.
I'm too lazy to do that shit.
Anyways, but if you did that, you turn your name tag would turn...
It's all gonna be in there.
Your name would be red. And if you got killed, you might lose a bunch of your money or some of the items you're equipping, and that would suck because everything's so hard in that game. It
right.
takes so hard to get anything. And
how
like,
would
you
lose money?
You just drop money out of your pocket. Like, you would lose money when you died. You would drop on the ground, and people pick it up.
Shit.
Yeah, and another thing that would suck is that, like, after, like, level 20, like, you're almost, like, level 19, almost, yeah, or 20, your equipment you can't buy in any store. You just have to buy it from people who make it, and the crafting system's also really hard. It was such a tough game. It was just a grind. A lot of people hate it for that reason, but I kind of loved it for that reason, because it was a really intense world, and it was massive. And
that
it was
sounds awful.
It does sound really
and that's
really
why
hard.
I stopped. And that's why I stopped.
Yeah.
But... Still a cool... I wish more games had a persistent open world. It makes it much feel
sure.
more natural.
Sure.
It just feels nice to have a world that's just massive. Like, you know, miles around.
The world natural PvP or PvP?
Natural PvP.
Okay.
Yeah, and then as much as it sucks for local players, it's really cool to have that environment where it's like...
I mean, there are PvP servers. Like, we could...
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I don't know if it functions in the same way.
I don't know
if it does. I'm pretty sure it doesn't. Mm. But I think with PvP servers, you just level faster and you can get PvP quicker. That's what it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
It's more the focus, yeah, the game. Mm. I think. I thought it works in Aeon.
No, I think it's different, at least in Sonar. I think it's different.
I've played a ton of NCSoft games. Aeon, Guild Wars, Lineage 2.
Maybe not.
But... Guild Wars, also a game, I don't like the level caps. I'm not really... I mean, PvP is fun in those games, but you gotta have a good PvP.
What's the level cap in Guild Wars?
20.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Shit.
And the fucked up thing is, like, there's a quest, right? I already got 20, like, multiple levels before that because I was really good at training and doing quests and exploring.
Right.
And, like, maybe, like, maybe 5 or 6 hours after the level game, after the gameplay, there's that Ascension quest, which just brings you level 20 after you finish it. You remember that? I was like, why? I'm like, what does that quest do? Like, oh, Ascension just brings you level 20. I'm like, I've been 20 for, like, 6 hours. Why did I do that if I was going to get to the max level from this quest? This is dumb.
Oh, that's great.
And, like, obviously, it was a bad game. I enjoyed Guild Wars for a long time when I played it. It was fun. But it could have been much better if they had just not made some pretty grievous errors.
Yeah.
Well, they did it right, though. No monthly payments. So, there's that.
Right.
Maybe that's why they did the whole low-level crap, because they didn't want people to get bored and leave.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I played a ton of different MMOs, but I always get bored really quickly because it's just, like, there are a lot of flaws in those games.
Right.
A lot of flaws. It seems like MMOs, more than any other, like, type of game, seems like a cash crop. It's a cash crop.
Oh,
even,
yeah.
Like, at least with COD, like, you can get... COD may be kind of a shitty game sometimes. I mean, it's fun. Let me rephrase that. COD's a good game. It just is unoriginal now. I'm going to say when I play COD, I'm bored. It sucks. I'm just saying, like, they've taken advantage of us.
Oh. It's very repetitive, and, like, as someone who... I still say, for a console shooter, it's one of the best-feeling console shooters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it feels... To me, it feels better than Battlefield, because I feel like Battlefield is optimized for PC. Like...
It is, but I still like Battlefield a little more now.
I'm not even talking about the gameplay. I'm just talking about, like, how it controls, how it feels. There's, like, a particular weight to Call of Duty that I enjoy.
It's more gaming.
It's
more arcade-y.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. BF goes for a different feel, but you're right. It does.
Right. I'm just talking about, like,
it's very it's frenetic, fast-paced, exciting action, and you can't be bored while playing some online.
Right.
And that should not be something I dismiss that quickly. To say your game doesn't get boring quickly is a big accomplishment.
That's a
good thing. As a designer, you've done well for that.
Right.
But, like, try harder, because you're fucking making some... You're making people dumber with your game. I'm sorry, you are. It is. It's making people dumber.
Like, the narrative content, you mean?
Narrative content and the online play, not because of the gameplay at all times, sometimes it's gameplay, but because of the people on it, too.
Well, I mean, like, what...
You can't control that, but you kind of can.
Well, what does Battlefield do that doesn't make you stupider in
it requires a much higher level strategy than COD.
I guess, but that doesn't really make you smarter.
Like, well, that's just a COD across strategy for the high, like, you know, high levels of league play, but, like,
right.
This requires high levels of strategy for, like, just to win in a fucking regular battle. You gotta be able to maneuver yourself on a large battlefield, a vast array of vehicles and weapons, and you have to be able to do it tactically in order to win.
Yeah.
This is not the debate we're trying to have right now.
Though. No.
At all.
No.
Back in MMOs, I do like Swotar. That's the thing.
Yes.
And I think we should talk about what makes, or big point about is, like, you know, what makes a good MMO. One thing I've learned now is the narrative quality. Swotar. It really helps.
It definitely
helps. It
really
makes anything badly in the game, you know, better.
But you were talking about MMOs being a cash crop, though.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we should flesh that out a little bit more.
Yes.
Before we move on.
The games are not decided, are not designed so much, it seems, at the core to be fun for the player, so much as to drag out that fun in a really painful way to make them play for longer.
Yeah. Well, it depends on what kind of payment model you're looking at. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And MMOs usually names of the time. Well, actually, that's actually wrong. They used to be 90% of the time
yeah.
based on the pay to play monthly
pay
model.
Month. Right.
Now they're more on a free to play. Sometimes you have a subscriber service, monthly payments for more advantages,
right.
And then you know microtransactions, which still kind of pissed me off. They're better. It's better. I won't lie. It's better than the other model.
Right.
But it's still kind of like, all right. It's not that I don't have them. I can invest my money into this and make it the experience I want it to be. Why should I have to do that for a fucking game?
Right. It would be interesting to see, like, if we had started playing SOTOR back when it was a subscription game.
Mm-hmm.
And then see what kind of changes they made into, like, what things got put into, say, like, the cartel market or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's sort of my understanding that, like, being a subscriber didn't really change the experience that much when it went free-to-play. It could be wrong about that, but just from what I've picked up ancillarily, that's not a word, but I'm going to use it like that. From what I picked up, the experience hasn't changed, but, like, I would imagine there would be some restructuring from going from subscription model to free-to-play that would change how certain things work, like what things you can buy in the cartel market, as opposed to what things just weren't available, like XP boost gains that you buy with like ostensibly real money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's odd. But you were saying about Lineage 2, like playing for days on days on days and not getting a quarter way through leveling. And it's like, if it's a monthly subscription model, yeah, of course they're going to do that. Of course,
yeah.
That's how they're going to make their money.
Yeah, take one.
Well, I guess with SOTOR, they probably do that a bit with like the legacy system and things like
yeah.
that, where it's like, you're done with the character, great, make another, here are all these incentives to just keep playing, like keep getting back into the
but
game.
It's a better, I feel like the legacy system would have been a better way to do the incentive, because like it's only like a small added advantage to your character, not like it's not like you're trying to like struggle to make it to the next fucking level, like, and also like you lose 10 sorry Lineage, how fucking hardcore Lineage 2 was. When you die, you lose 10% of the experience. No matter how you die, you lose 10% of the experience from your bar, and you can go back a level if you if you're at zero. Now I want to point out a few things. 10%, I mean, that's not a big deal. It could be about 10 hours of work later on in the game.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And but when I play this game, you don't get the game. The quests all suck. None of them are good, and they're all like, and it's all like
this doesn't sound like Dark Souls. This sounds like shit. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like
I should rephrase. It's usually like a crappy version of Dark Souls MMO.
Okay.
Yeah. It was still. It was more like I'm just trying to remember the hardcore, unforgiving, painful sense that Dark Souls and Visions spawn its players. But it's like, good God, why does this happen to me?
Yeah.
Also, what happened?
You're left
in back during the George W. Bush days, so everyone who wasn't American hated Americans online. So people would ask you,
the Korean despots.
Yeah, giant Korean despots and Bruce. They would find you and say, are you American? I had to pretend I was Canadian. It was like the fucking Holocaust. By the way, I know it's an inappropriate comparison, man. It's a joke. I know it's not like the Holocaust, by
the
way.
Yeah, because you had it worse.
Yeah, I had it worse. And they would murder us. They were literally just killing all of us. And we'd be running in corners like, oh God, the Koreans, they're so strong. What do? We can't run. Can we log out? No, they can't. They camp for hours and kill us. That was kind of part of the fun, though. Just like, good God, what do I do? This is so frightening.
It's kind of weird.
It's so great / awful. I know. You're like, what do I do? I'm in this. I should have gone to this dungeon. They blocked the entrances. I can't leave. They're gonna kill us. They're gonna kill us, man.
Oh my God. It's so great.
Well, that's a great thing people will do. That was terrible. There's like these always big monsters and like this. Well, they give this world like a nice sense of adventure. There'd be big monsters and even like little areas. They kite like 10 of them, high level players would, drag them into cities, and the guards will try and kill them, but not before they murder a ton of the people inside the town. So that's what happened.
That's so great. So. The Korean Lineage 2 players were just trolls. I love it.
Yep. They were just bastards. God damn, they were bastards.
Oh, that's great. No, I love that.
Jew American? Maybe. Stab! No, why?
One hit kill.
I just wanted to do some leveling.
I just wanted to grind in peace.
So don't do that if you're a designer and listening to this podcast, which I know you are.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
All of the designers are playing.
That made me cry on the inside. Maybe on the outside. We won't talk about that, though.
It didn't even make you cry silently in your pillow for 30 minutes.
Adventure Time reference. Love it.
Yeah. So we were talking about things.
Yeah, what makes it good anime?
Right.
If you blended the sense of adventure and the open world of Planes 2, brought in the story elements of Swotar, and then just made some good... You need a good class balance. You can't make PvP just... Like, in Planes 2, which was brought up in PvP servers, which is more the problem with PvP servers. I'm sure it didn't have public servers, so it really isn't a real issue.
Right.
But if you were a ranged class, you just had an advantage over everyone else.
Really?
You just did. Yeah, because, well, it was movement wasn't as quick as it was. You couldn't just jump across if, like, you were a Jedi Knight or a tank.
Yeah.
Like, it was slower. If you were a tank class, life was harder for you. If you were closer to it, life was harder for you. If you were a mage, if you were a damage class, you'd kill people so quick. A lot of that, though, was PvP classes, PvP servers, because you'd get, like, really well. You get high level equipment, you get upgraded a lot.
Yeah.
Just massacre people, you know? It's like, I'm a tank, but I feel like an idiot. I feel like a fucking pussy because everything kills me. My magic defense is terrible compared to these guys.
Crazy
amounts of damage.
Right.
But also, love that translates to public servers because, like, the ranged class is a little better. Archer pussies, they were actually pretty good. It was a good class for them to choose because they could just kite you. They could shoot you and then run away. And you die. And that's what happened to you.
That's how it goes.
And then you're dead. And you're like, well...
The real world.
Yeah, exactly.
Going back to Mexico, Edinburgh, what do you think, Al, besides those things that I mentioned?
It would be nice to not have as much padding. Like...
Yeah.
Even with Sotor, like, I know it's not a very egregious offender of this. Like...
Yeah, Tristan, someone played a lot of MMORPGs. I like this one most. It packed. By the way, this is the least. So think about this.
Yeah,
this is the least padded game you play.
No, that fact is very clear in my mind.
Oh,
okay. I'm like, this is the least padded MMO. I'm still killing 85 people. In one bonus quest.
Yep.
And then going to activate something and then returning to another thing. Yeah, I can quick travel there, but that entire thing takes like an hour.
And the fact that after like two planets, you realize, oh yeah, this is going to be what I do on every planet.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to do this a lot.
There's going to be about 25 original mice quests, and there's going to be about... No,
right.
That's an exaggeration. There's going to be like 10 really original quests, there's going to be about 25 to 30, oh my god, I've done this before, quests.
Right. Well, and like, it would be... This is sort of a problem I have with, like, games that allow you to branch narratives somewhat. BioWare seems to be, like, the biggest offender of this, where... Because, like, that's BioWare does bring in the whole, like, sort of renegade paragon system of, like, oh, you're going to have this nice choice and this bad choice, and that reflects on your character. And sometimes it even reflects, like, what you do, like, who you need to fight or whatever. But, like... At the end of the day, it's sort of an illusion of choice because, like, sort of when you roll a character, you decide from the get-go, oh, he's going to be a paragon or he's going to be a renegade.
And you
hero
have to do that because you have to do that because they've made the game like there's no if you're a middle ground character, you have no advantage whatsoever.
Right.
You have to be one or the other. You get blocked out of equipment if you don't do that.
Like you have to reach a certain thing. Like they incentivize you being one thing or another, so it's sort of like it funnels you down a path. And it would be so much more interesting just as a player, not interesting in like an artistic like art house. It would be so interesting.
No, it would be in that way too.
Yeah, a bit more. But like, it would be a lot more interesting as a player for me to like go through all these padded quests if it
make honest decisions.
Yeah, it's you're less unlocking story and more like going through the motions and then being able to and then unlocking the ability to influence where your character goes. In a more meaningful way. That's not just like, I've elected to do this right from the outset, and now I'm going to unlock the story from here. But the fact that they even give you the choice between the Paragon and the Renegade, or whatever they call it, like heroic or villainous, or I don't know what the other thing is. The fact that they do give you that choice does put it above other MMOs from what I've seen on a narrative component at the very least because they at least give you that illusion of choice from the outset.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a very narrative focused RPG player.
I am as well. I mean it's an RPG, it's a role playing game. It needs to on narrative.
It's all about the role that you're playing. That is the game. Hence role playing.
That's when I play a Final Fantasy game like FF13, it's like, oh, that had a really awesome combat system. It still sucked though, because the narrative was the most shit awful thing I've experienced
in a long
time.
Was not fun.
Yeah,
awesome.
It was the barfable. It was terrible. I've never used that word before. It was, I wanted to vomit. It was terrible.
Yeah, and that's sort of like, that is one of the reasons why I'm not as big of a Final Fantasy fan. As
but like all the other, no, plenty of other fans.
No, I know. And I'm not saying they're like bad games. I'm not like hating on you for liking them. But when, like, it, at the end of the day, it still feels like, especially when I was playing 7, like when I was going through that, it felt very much like unlocking story. And like for an RPG.
Well, more things, it rests upon the quality of the game and not your choices. It rests upon one version of the narrative and not the choices.
Right.
Choices.
Right. And like, I've come to realize that if I'm playing an RPG for X number of tens of hours, like, I would like the ability to choose things like that. Yeah. You know, to affect the narrative. Which is weird because I also don't have a qualm with like things like Demon Souls. Although technically they kind of do. Like
you have a ton of, you can kill every character.
Yeah, you have a lot of agency.
In a way, you could murder every person you meet, and the game would be totally different.
Yeah, it would be so different.
Yeah, a lot of things would be just blocked for you, or you gain a lot of equipment early because you murdered people and took it from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like you can't upgrade your weapons.
I like your clothes. Give them to me. Drop dead Mikey's off your ass.
Yeah.
And I do that sometimes in Demon Souls. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
I'm like, I went online and was like, is this guy important? Kind of, but not enough for me to spare him. You're dead now.
But your character tendency, no.
Don't care.
No, I've always wanted to go through as a black character tendency in that game, but that's just seems. Again, seems too dark. It's like the Renegade playthroughs of Mass Effect. Can't do it.
Yeah,
a lot of innocents die.
The other thing is, like, if you're going to do, I don't know, I guess I can't tell people, because I guess it is nice of them to make you feel the weight of your evilness. What I liked about KOTAR 1 and 2 is that evil was always, I loved playing KOTAR as evil, because it was just like, it was hilarious to be evil. It wasn't
right.
Like, oh, I'm going to be a racist here, and it's going to be bad. It's like, I'm going to murder these, like, I'm going to play, this is a quest where you can do Romeo and Juliet, essentially, as a quest. You're trying to help these two lovers, these star-crossed lovers, essentially.
Star Wars?
Come together. But not. Get together. And as a light side, you do that. And the whole family, you know, it's not like Romeo and Juliet, they don't die at the end. It's just
unfortunately.
Wonderful. And you make these two people, these families, you know, reconcile.
Yeah.
The dark side, you convince everyone to kill each other in really fucked up ways, and then you rob their bodies, and you still win the quest.
That's how Shakespeare would have wanted it.
Yeah.
Yep. And you're like, what? Jesus, why?
Yeah. Shakespeare
everyone's
was dark
dead.
Side. Everyone knows Shakespeare was dark side.
Yeah.
Dark
yeah,
side.
Buddy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it made Darkseid fun to play because it was just absurd, over-the-top violence
right.
and cruelty. And you didn't feel connected because you're like, this is just satire. This can't be real.
Well, and like, you get a lot of that, like, when I'm playing SOTOR, I'm gravitating a lot towards Imperial characters. And like, I feel like, as you're saying, for Republic characters, like, if you're being Darkseid, quote-unquote Darkseid, in the Republic characters, you're just kind of a dick.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's kind of it. If you're playing Darkseid in the Imperial things, again, when you're poisoning the slaves, you can't not poison the slaves. But you choose the poison that causes as much pain and suffering as possible. Whereas if you're light side, you're like, well, if I'm going to have to poison these slaves, let's do it humanely and, like, quote-unquote humanely, and implement the poison that kills them.
And the cool thing about that, another thing is the Jedi Knight, I encounter an Imperial agent who's a light side Imperial agent.
Yeah.
And, like, it actually kind of pissed me. When I accidentally caused him to kill himself, I felt kind of bad. I'm like, that guy was reasonable.
Spoiler.
I hated him. But, I mean, yeah, whatever. It's an more reasonable.
It is 2 years old, actually. We're getting into it way late.
Yeah, we were But yeah,
you guys heard about this new game called Star Wars The Old Republic? It's great. Just came out.
Yeah. But after dealing with him in several quests, you try to convince him to surrender to you and to the Republic. So he's going for questioning, and he's like, well, I'm an agent. I have a sworn loyalty, and I won't let that happen. So he kills himself. I'm like, shit, man. He also had a light side option to let him go. And I'm like, well, my sense of justice is like, I can't. He is the enemy. I can't just let him go. He's
right.
going to do more things to hurt my cause.
Yeah.
Let me just arrest you, bro. I'm not going to kill the Dark Shock is going to murder him. And it's like,
of course.
I'm not going to fucking murder this guy.
Yeah.
He's going to do. Or I'm
being kind of a dick, bro.
let me arrest him. He's like, nope. And I'm like, no, he's dead.
Yeah.
Shit.
He anti-heroed himself.
And it's like, that's cool if they show you that even as a light side Jedi Knight.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Once again, things you can do right as an MMO.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's one of the things that I really like about playing the Imperial characters, because I always play Imperial Light. Because Imperial Light, Imperial Dark is just like
too it's hilarious. Dark.
It's too ridiculous. I can't in good conscience spend that time to get through a
yeah,
story.
That's true. The
just being
this is pretty big.
A monster. Like, that's what you're mandating.
You go from planet to planet for hundreds of hours.
Yeah, you're genociding. That's what you're doing.
It's just torture, then genocide.
Yeah, basically. But so I play the light side because you're like basically with the light side, you're just making the best of shitty situations. Like that's what you're doing. Oh, here's this guy who wants to torture this guy. Hey, you should let up on the torture. All right, great. And you're being the voice of reason in a like just really sadistic environment. Like everyone just wants the pain of others, and you're like, we don't really need to do this. It just seems excessive. Like that's what you're doing.
But we are sick. We should show them that weakness is
right.
Acceptable.
It's,
and you're like,
we already
come on, guys.
We already won. Like we don't need to do this shit. Let's just leave. It's cool.
Oh, but the shield generator would be quite operational.
All right, don't even think about it. but
that's an FG reference to you kids.
Yeah. But yeah, so another reason that why I like playing Imperial is that like it shows you it's a problem that Star Wars universe has had in that they really don't do I think it was like this is so pretentious. I think it's like a Voltaire quote or something like that.
Yes.
I'm paraphrasing, I'm not gonna get the exact quote obviously, but basically the mantra is like there are no villains.
Mm-hmm.
Basically. But like with Star Wars, you get like characters like Emperor Palpatine, like Vader is sort of a
caricatures of evil.
Yeah. Like Vader is a tragic figure that fell from grace, but they're like
Greek hero. Yeah.
Yeah. But there are characters who are just basically, like you said, caricatures of evil in the movie universe and the universe that we're sort of like used to. Whereas in this game, it gives you the opportunity to be like, I'm on the side that we have thought of as being bad, but I'm imbuing it with like actual.
Yeah, I'm born and raised Empire.
Intentions.
This is my
yeah.
side.
Right.
This is my country. This is what I'm doing.
Right. And like, I don't agree with everything that the Empire does, but at the same time, I'm embodying what should have been in the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or whatever.
Yeah. It's more.
But again, that's another narrative focus of what I'm approaching the game from a very narrative centric place.
But even on the light side, there's even more depth to it. It's like, you know, fucking Luke Skywalker, crappiest Jedi in the world, at least during the movies.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even
know
fucking Darth Saber.
Ash being the worst Pokemon trainer.
Yeah.
Ash is the worst Pokemon trainer.
This guy sucks. It's kind of like when he's like judging Han Solo for like, you don't believe in the Force, do you? It's like, like Family Guy was around. It's like, yeah, you mean the thing you noted for all of like 30 minutes?
Yeah.
You're judging me for not believing it.
About a day ago.
Yeah. You're judging me for not believing in it.
Right.
love it.
All right.
But yeah. Michael wants to be known as a silent cameo of this podcast. Michael Ramuda is a silent cameo.
Yeah. Shout out to him for contributing absolutely nothing.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Well, let's start to wrap up, you know, what
yeah.
we think is the best thing about SWTOR.
I feel like the best thing that it has going for it, as far as what differentiates it from other MMOs, is
the fully voice acted narrative.
And the fact that, the fully voice acted narrative and like the narrative pull off.
Yeah,
it.
The choice in terms of us, the fact that every story is actually unique. And
right, it feels like a BioWare game. And
yeah,
it feels like an older BioWare game.
Yeah,
where you had like hotkeys and things like that. It wasn't like pre Mass Effect BioWare.
Yeah,
It feels like Knights of the Old Republic in a sense, in a massive multiplayer online. So.
And they have lots of really fun, cool shoutouts to the first and second game, which is nice.
Right, a lot of Revan references and whatnot.
Nar Shaddaa, Terrace.
Yeah. Right. I feel like we're pretty much in agreement as far as like what it does right.
Yeah.
And
what it does wrong for that matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love killing 40 monsters all the time.
Right. Well, and like,
I know in a lot of ways it's hard to avoid, but at the same time, no, it's not.
Yeah.
You can do different things.
Right. Well, what I was going to say is, like, another thing that I am kind of missing is, not missing, but another thing that I would like to see is, like, a little bit faster level progression.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not much. It is an RPG. You're expected to get a good amount of time out of your... Or, good, like, there, you expect time. You expect to take time to get to level 50 and whatnot. But, I don't know, just, like... Especially now with my Sith Warrior character, like, she's at, like, 26 or something like that. And it's starting to get to, like, a slog.
And here's the thing, though. This someone's played, like, over 10 MMOs for the longest time. I'm just unprepared for how fast this leveling is.
See? Again,
yeah.
Again, I'm coming at it as an MMO noob. And in comparison with, like, offline RPGs,
yeah,
it's like, this needs to go faster. Whereas for you, it's like...
I feel like this is the right level balance, at least thus far. Maybe it'll get crappier in the later levels.
Yeah.
But right now, it's like, okay, this is starting to slow down to a reasonable level. But you get quest bonuses and all these things that happen, and you're like, oh, this is good.
Right.
The rewards keep rolling in, this is fine. Also, it's not like Lineage 2, where I'm grinding for dozens of hours for 10% of
yeah.
XP that I might lose instantaneously by dying because of a racist, genocidal Korean clan murdered me and all of the people
I trapped you in a dungeon and just prevented you from leaving.
Sometimes they don't even ask. They just see that you have an English-sounding name.
That's good enough.
My guy's name is Darth Omnis. Hilarious. I don't have a Star Wars sounding name in mind, but I used to have Star Wars sounding name because I love that name.
Yeah.
And they killed me anyways.
Right. Oh, yeah. No. But what I was going to say, what I think, the main reason why I would like to have faster leveling is that I want to get to the point where you have, like, all of your skills and then just be able to really flesh out, like, how you want to play your character. Like, get to sort of level 50, have all the skills that you're going to have, and then be able to, like, screw around with your skill tree to see what... Because that's another thing that's, like, kind of weird for me is, like, filling out the skill tree without actually knowing exactly, like, how I want to play the character for whatever
reason.
Exactly. You can respec, but it's just, like, I'd rather, like, get to the end faster. Not, like, extremely faster, but I'd rather get to the end faster, sort of have a chance to play with everything, like, get a few more story missions in at the end, and then just sort of know how you'd want to play the character when you get into, like, PvP zones or things like that. Yeah, I don't know. But that's...
I don't know. I feel like it's good the way it is now, but I kind of get where you're coming from.
Right.
The biggest thing for me is just, like, I think it'd be more compelling if the world was more fun to go through, but it's more of a quest for me. The story is cool, it's fun. The worlds in and of themselves, quote-unquote, are pretty linear and pretty, like...
Oh, it's very linear.
Yeah, it's not, like... And because it's all instance-based, you feel like there's only a few people on each map, you're like, this is kind of fun, but not really. Yeah, I mean, that's it. I'm about making it sound boring. I enjoy all of it when I'm doing it, but it seems like I feel kind of alone in the world, whereas Lineage 2 felt always really vibrant and, like, tons of people.
It does
feel
pretty barren at times, especially when you're trying to group up with people.
For heroic
quests.
Like,
yeah, for heroic quests or whatever. Which is actually, it's not a gripe with the game, but... It's great with how people seem to approach grouping up.
Yeah.
Like, every now and then you get the person who doesn't understand that, like, how temporary grouping up is.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, hey, let's group up. Okay.
This is a hit it and quit it kind of relationship.
Yeah, no, it's always a hit it and quit it. Like, don't stick around. Don't come with me to another quest.
Yeah.
Just, like...
Yeah, I just leave the group. I'm like, all right, I always say thanks, guys.
Yeah.
The quest's over.
Right. But, like, it's always weird because, like...
Hey, pussy, I'm not going to hold your hand through some regular quests.
Yeah, well, there's that, but it's always like, you always know the people who expect otherwise, like, who expect you to stick around, you're like, oh no, I have to let you down, you're like breaking up with someone, essentially,
like,
oh, I was just in it for this experience here, and now
I was thinking, I'm always like, I was like looking LFG for this quest. And I'm like, what? It was predetermined. I told you this is what's happening.
Right. Maybe they were...
But it's always kind of like, ah, I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah.
I'm going.
Yeah.
This isn't going to keep going.
This isn't
going
to work out for me. And then you leave. And
you do other things that are fun.
Right. You do other things that aren't in a group.
I mean, it's different. Like, you have a friend you're playing with. You'll do some quests together. But it's different. You're playing with your friend and not some
Some random asshole.
I need you for your healing abilities or your DPS shit, man. I don't need you for anything else.
I've never needed a specific person to join me. It's always just been like,
yeah,
if I get one other person, we're fine.
Yeah. Or if like Heroic plus four, it's like, it'd be nice to have a healer.
Right.
If you have just four good damage dealers, you're probably fine.
Yeah. I've done plus fours with two.
Yeah.
Which is like,
it depends on the situation.
Yeah, exactly.
And how high level you are on the person.
Right. Well, and they keep their companions, and they basically act as your other two.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. That's me.
Yeah.
Spotor
out.
Yeah.
But anyways, that was well met.
We're talking about them MMOs.
Rishi and Kyle and Nick.
Yeah.
We were really excited about this episode.
Oh, yeah.
If you're looking for nothing else going on today.
Yeah. Well, I was checking out news sites earlier to see like if there was anything that we could talk about. There's really not much. I mean, the head of Xbox stepped down. He left for Zynga. Got replaced by a lady, which is cool. More lady presence in the industry, that higher ranking job.
Could still be a tool, but at least she's a woman tool.
Yeah. Well, some people are speculating that it's sort of calculated I'm sure it's calculated in some way, but like the way it's calculated is that she's sort of toning down the image that Xbox has gotten as being like this very machismo, macho type.
Which kind of is.
Yeah, it totally is. But, like, to sort of rectify that, make it a little bit more.
So, yeah, better is, I was about to give you a stereotypical example of what an Xbox player sounds like on Xbox Live, but I didn't want to say the F word on this podcast, so I had to avoid it. And there's no other way to talk on Xbox Live play without using that word. Or the C word.
The F-A word, not the F-E word.
The F word that I'm fucking embarrassed to say, not the F
right,
word that
you
just
said.
The actually offensive F word.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess it was that. Grand Theft Auto 5 trailer came out, which was very
fucking
cool.
Awesome.
Oh, but, gosh. Like, we can't talk about anything that you can't glean from that video. So, go watch that video.
Yeah, if you aren't watching the video because you don't like Grand Theft Auto, please just kill yourself because you deserve it.
If you think Saints Row 4 looks better than Grand Theft Auto 5,
once again.
Yeah, I'm going to actually agree with Rushab on this one. You can just go kill yourself.
Because you have no taste.
Yeah.
Because GTA 5 is going to be.
It brought,
it's going to get a 10 from a reviewer.
It
like
brought
Hideo
Kojima to tears.
I'll put money on that. It's going to get 10s all around. Let's just admit that.
I'm guessing it'll get definitely 9 pluses. I feel like there might be some things with the whole like swapping protagonists that some people might not like, and there might be some things that might be a little bit weird. But like, you have to remember, San Andreas I think had like 9 8s, 9 9s. It got like,
but GTA 4 got 10s.
GTA 4 got 10s. Yeah, but
and I feel like this is all
you have to remember the marked improvement from 3 to 4, whereas. From 4 to 5, it seems like...
That's true.
Yeah, to me, it seems like...
Though it seems like a much...
On.
Expanded sim, it's a really different game. 3 protagonists, underwater exploration, customization, bunch of new vehicles, much bigger map. I mean,
yeah,
it's a very different game.
We'll have to see.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
I'm guessing nothing below 9.
Yeah.
Well, there'll be some 10s, but like I don't think it'll be across the board.
I say 10's on. I think there's a really good possibility that IGN and GameStop, the two biggest and by the most reputable game critic.
Not according to the commenters, but you know.
The commenters are probably subhuman and intelligent.
According to the commenters,
appearance.
They're both money hats and people whose opinion should not be trusted because they're in the pockets of Microsoft and Sony and Nintendo and whatnot.
But only one they disagree with
for
a console exclusive.
Yeah, and for a game that is not out yet.
But anyways. I do think they might both give them a 10. Those are the two that I care about. Everyone else,
right.
It kind of matters.
Well, as
magazines, let me be clear. Magazine reviews are all biased and crappy. Don't
right.
really care about it. When Xbox Magazine gives an Xbox exclusive a good review, I'm going to go ahead and say, who cares?
Well, it's also good when an Xbox Magazine gives an Xbox exclusive a bad review.
That's when you know it's a definitely crappy game.
Ugh.
Good Lord, that game.
Not going to play that. But
Resident Evil 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was an exclusive, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It's still...
Yeah. But other than that, Shin Megami Tensei 4 is coming out.
Yeah, buddy.
For the 3DS.
Yeah, it is, man.
You can't even play it. So
yeah,
3DS.
Yeah.
But
Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah.
I've become more interested. I won't say excited, but interested.
Yeah. It's a timid interest.
Ellen Page Simulator.
That's the only exciting part as far as I'm, and Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
I'm more excited for the actors in it than the actual gameplay. That's the weird part.
Well, it is like Heavy Rain.
Yeah. Yeah.
This rain is so heavy.
Oh my god. Gizzle. But, yeah. I can't think of any other news.
Yeah, the gaming world's been a little bit dry.
Hopefully we didn't miss anything big, but
I don't think
we did.
Post E3, I mean, things are kind of cooling down in terms of the wait until the new consoles come out this holiday season. So.
GTA 5 news has been the most abundant.
Right.
We've heard about updates for Xbox, which we already talked about. But
Right. Yeah.
All PS4s have sold out, or other pre-orders have ended for GameStop.
Yeah. Amazon said that they sold out of pre-orders of the Xbox One as well. But what's weird is that, like, for games, I feel like it's more indicative for GameStop for the PS4 because it's a national physical retailer, whereas Amazon, like, I'm not sure what that means for how many pre-orders they have, like, how many units they actually ordered.
They have a pre-allocator amount they probably agreed to with the...
Oh, yeah, sure. But I'm not sure if it's, like, the same as it is with the PS4. You know?
Oh, yeah, I doubt it, yeah.
All right. Judging by consumer responses to announcements for the Xbox One, it's like, oh, we're not going to order that much. They might have done that. They might not have. It might have been equal. And, like, people just want to buy their Xbox Ones on Amazon, and they want a lot of them.
Well,
so,
to be fair, they probably want them because Amazon's an online retailer, and they're okay with you always online.
Right.
Which is kind of not true anymore, but also kind of still
yeah.
true.
The other thing is, like, the fact that neither news report, like, so GameStop has sold out PS4s in terms of their pre-orders, and Amazon has stopped pre-orders for Xbox One, I feel like it's sort of indicative that neither report really confirms what that actual number is.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, GameStop might have expected the PS4 to do a PS3 and just have a really shitty launch. Because the PS3 had a not great launch.
It still sold out and was really expensive for a while, but it didn't. Yeah,
yeah.
The Wii didn't have a great launch.
Right, because, well, yeah.
And now the tides have turned, and the Wii U had the worst launch of any system in decades.
Yeah. Oh, Nintendo.
Right.
Right. So, it's...
Sorry, Micromedia, we're going to be really biased here and shit on shitty systems.
Yeah, Micromedia, stop complaining about us being biased towards things. We're trying. We're working on it.
Micromedia sucks, guys.
Be sure to contact his Facebook and tell him that.
Yeah. It's Bermuda on Facebook. It's Micromedia. It's one of his jokes.
Oh. Anyway... Oh. Fuck anything that's on the PS4. No,
on that note.
Right. Well, no, all I was going to say is that, like, news reports like that, which only say, oh, yeah, we've sold out of all the things that we've shipped, it's like saying, oh, yeah, we've, like, shipped these many copies of this game to stores. Like, you might have shipped it. Doesn't mean you've sold it. Just, like, pre-order numbers. It's like, okay, you've sold out of your stock, but that stock might not have been big.
Yeah.
So, just a lot of PR speak. I don't know. It's you can get excited, but
yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Right. Once we start seeing sales figures, that said, I still think the PS4 is going to probably do markedly better than the
Xbox One burned
launch.
A shit ton of bridges, and they deserve to.
Right. Even after rescinding it, the difference in price point is going to be pretty big,
and just the insult to gamers with the initial
Then again, they do still have their Call of Duty DLC exclusivity.
They still have Halo 5.
Right.
Which even I am kind of interested in. So.
Yeah, we'll see. I feel like it's going to rest on, like, a lot of the a lot of that exclusivity. Not just exclusive titles, but, like, things, partnerships that they have with third parties that's going to bring in fans of those games.
Yeah, at its most base level, if you do what you can to appease the fanboys like they have been,
right,
they get them back. So.
Right.
And I feel
like
a lot of them.
Those of us who are more like you and I, who are a little bit, that sounds pretentious, I guess who are a bit more open to cross-pollination of, like, game ecosystems and things like that. Like, we'll probably go for the PS4 first. It's cheaper, and we're not necessarily swayed by like DLC exclusivity with Battlefield.
Exactly.
Timed exclusivity with like Battlefield and Call of Duty and things like that. It's like, well, it's fine. I'll be playing something else, you know, in the interim. But not to say that an Xbox One isn't in the future. It's probably just not going to be the first thing that we buy. But we've covered this before. Probably wrap up the show.
All right. Well, that was well met with Rushu and Kyle and Nick.
Yeah.
It's a great episode about MMOs and cannibalism and...
I'll say,
that's a worse.
If you want to donate your bodies to cannibalism...
Contact Kyle.
Contact me and write me into your will. And we can work something out. I don't know. It'll be good.
Yeah, well, man.
Let me eat your flesh.
And on that, all of you guys have a great night.